Welcome to another episode of the Jam Pack Report, today for May the 10th of 2021. Of course, my name is Samuel Adams, and this is a daily gaming news podcast meant to bring you the hottest news you need to know from around the industry. Hosted on YouTube and podcast services around the world 5 days a week, it's your one-stop shop for everything you need to know. So if you enjoy the show and you like what you see, hit that subscribe button and keep coming back for more. But before we dive into today's show, I did want to say congratulations to the team at Capcom and those working on Resident Evil Village, because the game now has an all-time peak player count on PC of 106,631. Of course, this week we'll reveal more information about the sales figures on consoles, but it is the number one best-selling game on Steam for last week, and it is off to a very, very good start. As reported on here by VGC, previously the record holder for the franchise was Resident Evil 2 Remake, which had 74,024 as its peak, and of course Resident Evil 7 had 18,211 as its peak, and so that is 5 times the amount for that game's direct sequel. So this goes to show just how powerful the Resident Evil franchise is going into Resident Evil Village, and on top of that, it goes to show how ravenous players are for brand new games. So again, congratulations to the team at Capcom that made this game a reality. I'll probably hold off a bit to dive into this when I just finished Resident Evil 7 last week for me, available on Game Pass if you do want to dive in and check it out for subscribers. But I don't think my heart can take much more. I need to relax. I need to rest. I'm playing Halo Spartan Assault to provide some context into that one. But regardless, Village does look fantastic, and I can't wait to check out that next-gen version. But for PlayStation players that aren't already on the next-generation hardware, it could be a while before they find a PlayStation 5, because Sony expects PS5 supply issues to continue into next year. This comes from a Bloomberg article which is reported on here by The Verge, with Hiroki Totoki from Sony saying, quote, "I don't think demand is calming down this year, and even if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units of the PlayStation 5 next year, our supply won't be able to catch up with demand." He later adds, "We have sold more than 100 million units of the PlayStation 4, and considering our market share and reputation, I can't imagine demand dropping easily," end quote. This is a very big deal because at this point in the PlayStation 5's life cycle, it is now selling faster and has sold more consoles than what the PlayStation 4 was selling and had sold at the same point in its life cycle. And that shows how ravenous players are for a next generation experience. On top of that, you see the exact same issue happening over at Microsoft. Now, these are not apples to oranges. There are different production pipelines. There are different levels of demand for each of these devices, but you do see issues. And so, PlayStation is not alone in that regard. At the same time, you see them trying to combat this with a potential console hardware revision coming in 2022 that we talked about last week that would exchange the CPU in the PlayStation 5 currently for one that is a bit cheaper and easier to produce, and so therefore you would potentially be able to iron out some issues there and improve the production as well. Ultimately, what it comes down to is if you're looking for a PlayStation 5 to be in abundance in 2021, you're probably going to be out of luck. Now, I will say that does not necessarily mean that you won't be able to find one, because I've had the opportunity to get a PlayStation 5 multiple times. I have had them in my car, but quite frankly, right now, I'm satisfied with my Series X and I don't feel compelled to pick up one. Returnal is the first game that I really want to play from a PlayStation 5 next generation experience kind of perspective, but now that that hype's died down, I can kind of push this off. I'll probably pick one up maybe in a couple of years when the Slim model comes out and you have a slew of exclusives that are now affordable in their budget games. That's kind of where I come into play. That's not relevant for the conversation at hand. What I do want to say is if you are looking for a PlayStation 5, keep your notifications turned on for Wario64 on Twitter. On top of that, keep monitoring these storefronts, because you can probably find one if you are quick to the trigger, if you are quick to click. Very difficult to say that, but if you are quick to click, you can probably find a console if you really, truly want one and you keep your eye on it at all times. With that being said, still a bummer to see that they're not going to be in abundance for the next year or so. But on top of that, you could just play these games on PC, potentially. Of course, not all PlayStation games are going to be coming to PC, but Epic has reportedly offered $200 million to Sony for PlayStation exclusives. This is coming out of the Epic versus Apple court case, which is continuing to shake up the industry and really reveal a lot of big information that, quite frankly, consumers and reporters really should never have seen. But it certainly is interesting to take a peek behind the curtain and see what's happening between these big deals. Here is a screenshot here, but an offer has been extended at a minimum guarantee of $200 million for 4 to 6 Sony titles on the Epic Games Store, which is apparently awaiting feedback. Now, as you see here on GamesIndustry.biz, there have been two games that have come to the Epic Games Store. You have Predator Hunting Grounds and another lesser known title. But in short, Epic is really throwing around some cash here, and it seems like it might not go through. Sony and Epic have a very tight relationship. Sony has, of course, invested in Epic in a pretty big way. But you see Sony also bringing their games to Steam primarily. This is what we saw with Horizon Zero Dawn and Death Stranding. And so if you look at those games and you kind of build a mold or a template for future releases out of that, that does not necessarily include Epic. On top of that, it depends on the audience that Sony is really going after. This is beginning to shift, but when I think about the core PC gamers, those that are very passionate about PC as a platform, they're on Steam, and Sony loves passionate players, and it makes sense for them to bring the game to Steam because that's where the most passionate players are. We saw the report from last week, again, coming out of the Epic versus Apple case, where the overwhelming majority of players on the Epic Games Store do not purchase games. A lot of them do exactly what I've done, and just install the free games that are given away every week just to have them in case they want to go back and play them. Have I ever played one of the free games that Epic has given away? A couple from time to time. Largely no, but it's nice to have them. They're kind of like collectibles you get from a Happy Meal in McDonald's circa 2006. Regardless, that's kind of the way that many players do use the Epic Games Store. So it makes more sense for Sony to bring their games to Steam, where players are adamantly buying games time and time again. That's where players are spending money on experiences themselves rather than Fortnite in-game cosmetics. I'm just calling the kettle black. So we will see if this deal does come to fruition. Again, it seems that Epic is awaiting feedback, but I highly doubt they are going to get that approval because Sony does seem to be pretty focused on Steam. Again, you see Predator Hunting Grounds on the Epic Games Store, though another lesser known title as well. And so whenever you have these two experiences, potentially you could see a different pedigree of games come to the Epic Games Store, a different level, that AA kind of quality that you get from Predator Hunting Grounds as an exclusive versus the AAA quality you get from a Death Stranding or a Horizon Zero Dawn or potentially in the future, a God of War. We'll see what happens with that one. But on top of that, you could play PlayStation games on Remote Play, and it looks like Sony has finally added PlayStation 5 DualSense support for Remote Play. If you are a Remote Play user and you have a DualSense, I would love to hear your feedback down below. I could not find anyone online that shared if DualSense functionality was included in the Remote Play functionality here. I know that you can use the DualSense, but can you actually use the haptic feedback features that make this controller stand out? That is not mentioned here in the Video Games Chronicle article, but in short, they have now added the ability to use the DualSense controller versus just having a DualShock 4, which is the PlayStation 4 controller. And so the 4.0 update has dropped today, which adds support for the wireless controller and other performance improvements. So if you do want to check out the Remote Play functionality for your PlayStation 5 or your PlayStation 4, you can download that app and get your 1080p 60fps Remote Play stream directly to your device of choice. Finally, Mass Effect Legendary Edition has used mods as a benchmark for its improvements. This story comes from PC Gamer, and I did want to share it because it shows some incredible insight into the value the modding community brings. Quote, we actually early on looked at some of those, project director Mac Walters told Jody McGregor over at PC Gamer, and said, okay, well, this is our minimum bar, and from here we have to then go bigger, right? Obviously, they have limited access as a modder to the assets that are in there. We have full access to them, end quote. Essentially, what he is saying here is that the team looked to what modders in the community had done and said, that's what we have to beat. On top of that, modders are using limited tools. You have completely and totally uncompressed textures, you have every tool at your disposal if you are creating a legitimate remaster. And so if these modders in the community can make the game look this good and add features that add so much quality of life to games, then why can't we do even better? That's the value of the modding community, and that's something that never really clicked with me until now. Of course, you hear stories about modders getting hired on at some of these companies after creating these incredible experiences. I think Bethesda has done this a time or two. But to see mods used as an example of what is possible within a remaster, to see mods used in such a powerful way, is something that I think really does speak to the value that community brings to their individual communities and how important they are, especially in a world where remasters and remakes are becoming the norm instead of the exception. Very important work you guys are doing, so thank you for doing it. But that rounds out today's episode of the Jam Pack Report. If you enjoyed today's show, drop me a like down below and let me know what you think about Resident Evil Village. Have you played it? Are you planning on playing it? And what do you think about the game so far? On top of that, have you looked for a PlayStation 5? Are you looking for one? And when do you think you'll pick one up if you are in the market at some point now or in the future? Would love to hear what you have to say. But until tomorrow, you guys have a fantastic start to your week. I'll talk to you soon, and peace.